Welcome to Season 5 of The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom, where we talk with enterprise and technology platform leaders about the people, processes, and platforms that make marketing and customer experience successful, scalable, and sustainable. This is what creates an agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advisor and consultant for Fortune 1000 marketing and CX leaders and teams as principal and chief strategist at GK5A and best-selling author, keynote speaker, entrepreneur, and Agile certified coach. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full stack technology services, talent services, and real world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. To sign up for the Agile Brand newsletter and get the latest insights and articles on marketing technology and CX, or to purchase a copy of my latest book, House of the Customer, go to gregkilstrom.com. You can also find all my books on Amazon and other retailers. And now on to the show. Today we're going to talk about mental wellness at work and how to teach and learn well on the job. To help me discuss these topics, I'd like to welcome Josh Burke, Senior Director, Developer Evangelism at Salesforce, also known as the Godfather of Trailhead and the host of the Salesforce Developer Podcast. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Greg. It's great to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this. So why don't you give a little background on yourself and what you're currently doing?
I have a very weird job. So sorry if you thought this was going to be a short answer. It's a little hard to describe. So I've been at developer relations slash evangelism at Salesforce for about 12 years now. Started back in with the great Dave Carroll when he got a mandate to go from like two evangelists to like five or six, I think it was at the time. And now I'm reporting up to Christoph Konrads, VP of Developer Relations. And my job is weird because in that position with relation, like I'll spend months just in my study, just talking to people and recording interviews and doing stuff on Slack. And then I'll get on a plane and go stand in front of like 300 people and do a presentation. So it's this very bipolar experience of like when I'm here at the study, I'm usually trying to like connect the dots on our events, make sure they don't go boom. I produce, edit, and do most of the work on the podcast itself. And then I get to go on the road and actually go talk to people.
Yeah, great. So let's we'll get started here. You did a great keynote speech a little while ago. I've already, after you shared it with me, I've shared it with a bunch of people that, you know, it's nice. Really, you know, I think it's a really meaningful talk that you gave. It's called The Pool at Nowhere. You can find it on YouTube, or we'll put a link in the show notes as well. And, you know, in this keynote, you explore what can happen when anxiety at work, at home, or both goes unchecked and what you can do about it. Can you give a brief summary of it, you know, beyond that? And how did you come to do it?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for sharing it. That's kind of the goal. And I know I'm not saying that because I, you know, hope to be a viral influencer at some point or something like that. But what I wanted to be was a cautionary tale. The very short high-level version is last November, I'm in a meeting with my boss and I realize I'm just scared. Like I'm just scared all the time. And then I realized I couldn't stop it. Right. And I honestly, at this point, thought that a nervous breakdown was kind of like something that only happened like in the movies. You know, it's like getting the vapors or, right. You know, it doesn't really happen to people in a way that really affects their lives. It really affects your lives. It will basically, in fact, my therapist has told me most of the people who go into recovery for this actually start being hospitalized. Like that's how severe, you know, we're talking at this point. And so I took a couple of months off work, put the podcast on hiatus, did a lot of work with my therapist. And then when I got back to work, at this point, I'd had several conversations with people. And all of these conversations were like, hey, I am leaving work because I am having a nervous breakdown. Like, I'm just going to be completely transparent about this. Yeah. And what I found was the more I talked about it, the more people would talk about their own experiences. And so the content creator, started thinking in my head, like, what would this look like on stage? And like early, like thoughts of it and stuff. I'm like, I'm not even sure I would ever be able to get up in front of a group of people and talk about this. And then I'm getting better. And one of the people, the wonderful Angela Mahoney for Forcelandia, reached out to me and she's like, hey, we just had some people drop out. We would love to have you come on stage. And what would you like to talk about? And weirdly, I said that. I said, I want to come up and talk about my mental health. And I wasn't sure if she was going to go for it because Forcelandia is really well known as a very technical conference. Mm-hmm. And she was just great. She was so supportive. It instantly, as I said, she's like, that's what we're doing. I'm going to explain it to Larry. He's going to tell me it's not technical enough. And I'm going to tell him we're going to do it anyway. I'm not sure that's actually how it unfolded, but I have a feeling it might be. And so, yeah, like it was, and I talked to my therapist about it and she was like, well, I don't know if I'd really advise you to do this, but as your therapist, I think you can do it. And I think you've got it. And it worked. Like I got up on stage and talked about the whole thing and talked about, you know, how it started, what the symptoms are. We go into like some of the chemicals in your brain that kind of gets you into these states and then end on, had to end on a good note, right? I'm like, this is the darkest presentation I've ever put together. And so I wanted to make sure also give like resources and things that had helped me along the way.
Yeah, that's great. So there's a lot of pressures at work, you know, that we all deal with various, you know, some of them are very common to all of us. Some are dealing with different things, whether that's, there's always kind of a pressure to keep your job, obviously, right. You know, you work for a reason, you know, but what happens when employees don't talk about what they're struggling with? You shared that you were able to do that. And that's really great to be able to do that. But, you know, what happens when employees don't share that, and you know, whether that's mental health, other issues.
Yeah. And first I want to give another shout out to Christoph, my manager. He was amazingly supportive. I am blessed to have the support that I had and a management chain and a group of coworkers who were, you know, very open to talking about it and very open to supporting me. The thing is, like, first of all, I think it is very hard in tech because you want to be that trusted advisor. Yeah. And so if you're going to be the trusted advisor, you don't want to be seen as the crazy person in the room. But one of the things like anxiety and ADHD and some of this neurodivergence stuff, it can kind of trick your brain into thinking everything's okay. Yeah. So if you don't raise your hand in some way, like if you don't try to put on the brakes, it just slowly will wear you down over time. Which is really what happened to me. It wasn't one thing, and it wasn't just work. There was a bunch of family stuff too. And it's the analogy I've gone back to a lot is like a marathon runner. If you're a marathon runner and you run and you sprain your ankle, what do? You don't just get up and keep running your marathon. Like you go off to the side of the road and you take care of that ankle. And if you're trying to just keep up the mask and kind of try to pretend everything's okay, you might go to the hospital. it can get uncontrollable, and it's hard to navigate that when you're in that state. And so that's one of the cautions I would give, is that the farther down this road you go, the harder it is to dig yourself back out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the, you know, just the stigma with, you know, mental wellness, mental health issues, you know, I was watching something the other day and, you know, they were saying, you know, if you have a heart problem or if you have glaucoma, you know, you're going to take some medicine or you're going to get treatment for it. And no one's going to think you're weak or crazy or, you know, whatever those words might be, because you want to live and you want to be better. And yet somehow, you know, when we're supposed to keep it all buttoned up and not be anxious, not, you know, have it all together. And I think additionally to your point, certain types of roles and, you know, in technology, there's a tendency to want to be very logical and, you know, kind of above reason, above emotion and all those kinds of things. And I don't know, how does this all kind of play into, you know, what's keeping people from opening up?
Yeah, you're kind of nailing it right there. It is, you know, there's on Twitter, there's hashtag and the stigma. I was talking to somebody, and it was really spooky, and it's somebody I've worked with in the past. We used to work, we now have twice worked for the same company. And he came to me because a friend of mine was like, I think he's about to break down, you know? Yeah. And so I get on a meeting with him, and it was like looking in the mirror. Like, I'm like, I see your eyes darting back and forth. You're having troubles finishing sentences. You're kind of shaking a little bit. And he was like, well, should I tell my boss that if I take paid medical leave, which is a wonderful benefit that Salesforce offers, and I hope more companies do, if I take paid medical leave, I'm going to tell my boss, I'll come back as a better employee. And I'm like, no, you don't do that. What you're going to do is you go to your boss and you say, I'm sick. My brain's, you know, you can phrase it any way you want, but I'm like, right. I'm sick. My brain's trying to kill me. One of the points we make in the presentation, in the keynote, is mental health is physical health. There really is no boundary, because one of the things that's happening and why you get into these states is how your brain is operating on a fundamental level. So it's your brain, it's your stomach, it's your nervous system, it's your heart. Yeah. It's all of it. So there is no real distinction. Now, I do think there's a complication. Like, some people, when it comes to the mental health, like how much they're willing to share with their manager, I can kind of understand that. But you should be able to pull the trigger on it without having to go into details that you don't want to. Yeah. You can just say, I'm having a mental health crisis and I need help.
Yeah, yeah. What is opening up about this with, you know, whether it's with your manager, with coworkers, with others, what is doing that allowed you to do that maybe you might not have been able to do otherwise?
You know, I don't have any regrets, because first of all, it made the return a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody knew what was going on. Although I did have one coworker who was surprised. She was like, Josh is back in the meeting. Are we not talking about this? I'm like, it's okay. But more than that, it's helped build kind of this underground network of people who, like, I will now go to a conference and they're just like, thank you, let's talk about this. Like, they just, like, I get more conversations out of it. And that's important, because talking is therapy.
Yeah.
And talking about it is a good way to kind of work through some of these things. And so finding out, you know, who has had a breakdown and all of these kind of things, you totally create this little mental health network that, you know, everybody can talk to each other.
Before we continue, I'd like to introduce you to a sponsor of the show, Basecamp. Throughout my career, whether it was at my own agency or now as a consultant, Basecamp is what we rely on to help keep projects on track, on schedule, and on budget. It takes a straightforward approach to project management. It streamlines workflow management and definitely keeps the team in the loop and on top of ongoing updates, which all are major components in a smooth-running operation. No matter if it's a simple campaign or a multi-million-dollar project, Basecamp has been a key ingredient in the recipe for a successful project and business. If you're struggling with projects, sign up for Basecamp. Their pricing is simple, and they give you all their features in a single plan. No upsells, no upgrades. Go to basecamp.com/agile. That's basecamp.com/AGILE, and try Basecamp for free. No credit card required, and cancel anytime. Thank you, Basecamp, for sponsoring this episode. Now let's get back to the show. You kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but, you know, for that person that's struggling with sharing their struggles or even just asking for something, whether that's paid medical leave or other from their manager, you know, what would your advice be to them to, you know, how should they approach it, or, you know, what should the thought process be?
Yeah. First, I would say, if anybody's listening to this and you think you're maybe in the early stages, you know, you're starting to feel anxious and you can't control it, but you're still in pretty good shape, the first piece of advice I have is go find out what your benefits are. Find out what does your company support you and what are the right things to do if you really do need to, you know, pull the trigger on it. And I say that because what I found is that when you're in the middle of a nervous breakdown, it's really hard to navigate HR. Filling out forms and reading, you know, detailed rules and stuff like that is not your forte at that point. So while you still got your long-term planning intact, like, do a little long-term planning just in case you need to pull this out of your back pocket. Yeah. And then, you know, I think I'd go back to, yeah, like, whatever level of transparency is comfortable to you, do that. However, I'll also say, what my therapist told me was, like, if you think you're going to have to go into paid medical leave and get away from, and let me define that a second, because it's like, that's a benefit where you get to leave your job and come back to it and you still get paid during it and the company is not allowed to talk to you. Mm. And that's important, because what my therapist told me was, like, you need 3 weeks of rest and just no stress and find joy while you're doing this, because we got to get your dopamine count, you know, back up, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So be prepared, don't be afraid, and focus on your body, like, focus on what's important, for your brain and your mental health and your physical health for moving forward, and may kind of make you a priority, I think is probably the last thing I'd say on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Going to change gears in a little bit, but before we do that, do you have maybe one or two resources, whatever those may be? You know, what would you recommend to somebody that might be struggling with, you know, anxiety, insomnia, other challenges? You know, where could they start or find a little more information that might have helped you?
Yeah. First of all, kind of a blanket statement, do not try to do this alone, especially if you've gotten as bad as where I was. I have a friend who like did a 2-week stint in a hospital and she was like, this must have fixed me. It didn't. Right. So seek help. There's great online resources for this. Telehealth is amazing these days and is a great way to be able to see a counselor without having to actually like, you know, leave your home. More concrete resources. Two of my favorite things to go to. If I am still feeling like maybe I'm losing a little bit of control of it. One is this amazing song called Weightless by Marconi Union. And this is a song that has been scientifically engineered with musicians to lower your stress levels. Like they have proven it will calm you. And I think they've got like an 8-hour version or something like that. So like a hot bubble bath and that song is like my go-to rest if I have to. Another one I always try to recommend with people, especially if you're kind of like in, you're tipping your toes in your water, this, there's an app called Wobot. That's Woe, like W-O-E. And it's an interactive chat app that walks through cognitive behavioral therapy exercises. And it also has great little exercises. I actually just used it a couple of days ago, like box breathing, like things that like allow you to calm yourself. And so I kind of consider it like a stopgap measure between, you know, not seeking help and actually seeing a therapist on the weekly. Like it can kind of guide you in that right direction.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing those. So switching gears a little bit, one of the things I mentioned, your background in the beginning of the show, you're also known as the godfather of Trailhead, which is, I just think it's cool to be the godfather of something. So that's kind of cool, which is, for those that aren't familiar with it, it's Salesforce's learning platform. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, what led to the creation of Trailhead? What was that like?
Yeah. And it's the most surreal thing in my entire life that I've gone through this, and now Trailhead is like literally like a whole department here at Salesforce. Nice. So the origin story, the short version is, so one of my main tasks in the early like 2010s or so was doing workshops. So we would do day-long workshops with people, and I was in charge of like curating the content, and I did a lot of the actual like live presentations kind of thing. And what I found was, because like they're sending Salesforce people to Memphis, Tennessee, and there's not always a presence there, people would show up, even though it's very clearly advertised, this is a 101 beginner's guide to Salesforce development. Like, we assume you know nothing about it. But I kept having people showing up that had like years of experience in Apex. And the moment that it kind of broke me was, I used to do these things at the end where we'd give away gifts and I would just ask random things. One of the random things I asked was, how far did you drive to get here? And I had somebody answer like 3 hours. Now, this is like an 8-hour workshop. They're spending 6 hours on the road. Do the math. I'm like my brain was just like, the educator in me was just like, I cannot have somebody spend 6 hours on the road and not learn anything. Like, I don't care who they get to talk to at Salesforce. Like, this is my workshop. You're going to learn something. So I talked to my colleague, Peter Chittum, and we came up with this idea that we called extra credit, which was basically code on GitHub that is broken. And it was a way to tell the like get developers into like code they wouldn't normally get a chance to play with. And so we put together a few of these, and I just lined them up with the workshop. And I'm like, hey, if you're an advanced developer, go try this thing. And it worked like gangbusters. Like, I had people really engaged with them. I had a few people thank me because, again, like they didn't know these features existed and now they knew them. So what I wanted to do was put that together in a way that the evangelist team could kind of use it as a framework so that we could build it out. And at some point I'm like, what we need right now is more of like a massive online curriculum sort of thing. So I put together a prototype called Metals, which was written in Node.js. And the big trick with Metals was that we have wonderful APIs here at Salesforce. And what it did is it would give you this little challenge, and then you would click a button. It would go to the APIs and try to determine if you had actually done the challenge. And if you done the challenge, you got the challenge, then boom, you get a medal. So I started shopping this around, and there was another project going on at the same time called Learning Paths. And Learning Paths was our docs team trying to move past like single cell workshops, like single unit workshops, and move them into Learning Paths. Like start here, learn these four things. Congratulations, now you know Apex. And so we basically merged these two things together. And I actually, this is it's weird that I'm known as the godfather of Trailhead. This is a weird little factoid a lot of people don't know. I actually gave Trailhead its name, possibly my greatest marketing achievement ever. And the reason was I knew medals wasn't going to pass, because medals, like we were going down this fun, like Trailhead should be crazy and fun and weird and people should be enjoying themselves. And I'm like, medals makes it sound like you're, I don't know, trying to go to the gym or race the Olympics or something.
Yeah.
So I started thinking to myself, like, what's a better name than medals? And I'm a dork, I'm a geek, I'm a gamer. And you're probably familiar with this, actually. I used to just be fascinated with alternate reality games.
Yeah.
And so for the uninitiated, ARGs were had this brief heyday. And it's like Microsoft would put together all these puzzles and things. And at the end of the puzzles, and they'd be like online clues and all of this stuff. And at the end of it, you would get a link to what the new Halo game could be or something like that.
Yeah.
And to start those, what they would do is they would mail like a community leader a Trailhead, a physical object, usually something weird like a cassette or a CD or something like that, that would start the game. And I'm like, this is perfect. Trailhead.
Yeah.
It's got this nice forest theme to it. It's about learning. It's got gamification. Like, it wraps all of this stuff together. Yeah. And so I pitched it. And when we started actually putting together what would turn into the first production version of Trailhead, we called it Project Trailhead. And my good old friend and colleague, Sandeep, he was like, just don't hang on this Trailhead thing. Like, nobody's confirmed it. Like, it hasn't gone through marketing yet. Like, I know you're really excited about it. Like, don't get too excited about it, right? And then he was talking to Adam Seligman, who was my boss at the time. And Adam at some point was just like, what do you mean we're not calling it Trailhead? It's Trailhead. Just call it Trailhead. And I was like, bing, done.
Nice.
Yeah. That's so great. It launched at Dreamforce 2015, I want to say. And I ran around Dreamforce talking, asking everybody if they've seen it, if they've trailed it yet. And like, most people just don't even know what it is. And then like the next Dreamforce, everything is Trailhead themed.
Wow.
And I just walked through the conference that year in a surreal fog. I'm like, what have I done?
that's great though. So yeah, I mean, you know, you were instrumental in something that helps a lot of people learn. What did you learn by, you know, by helping other people to learn?
You do learn a lot about how people and how different people learn in different ways.
Yeah.
And you also learn pretty quickly what are some of the things when you do something like move things online, because one of the big ideas with Trailhead was that learn at your own pace and, you know, do the units that you want to in the timeline that you want to. And that was a very conscious, you know, design kind of thing. And like, some people are really good readers. Some people need the interactive challenges, and some people will just, so my now colleague, Jennifer Lee, I think this was like, I will never forget this conversation because she came up to me during the second year. And I think at that point we had maybe a couple hundred badges or something like that. It might have been slightly less than 100, but she comes up to me and she's like, I have every badge. And I'm like, what? She's like, I have every badge. And when you all put out a new badge, I do that badge. And it's like, some people will do it very fast and they'll just, you know, give them content. They'll just keep doing it. And then some people will like, you know, kind of dive in. So if you're looking at like adopting something like this, I'd say flexibility and diversity are two things to really think about. Be flexible in how people are going to consume it, because different people learn in different ways.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining the show. I've got one last question before we wrap up here. So you're also a fellow podcaster. So, and yes. I just did an interview with you. So we flipped our chairs here so to speak on this one.
I was actually a little afraid. I was just going to start asking you questions like out of habit.
I know. It's like you get Zencaster in front of you and all of a sudden you go on autopilot. Nice.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, I always like to ask, you know, at least one question. I maybe call this professional development for myself, if nothing else. Uh-huh. But, you know, I always like to ask one question about the experience of doing podcasting. So your story, you know, as we were chatting, preparing for this show, you know, it began, I would say, not so much intentionally, but you kind of grew into it, so to speak. You know, what are some of the one or two of the most important things you've learned by doing a show and just kind of getting into it?
So I'll answer that in two very different parts. One is, if you are going to do a weekly show, and Greg, you release what, like 3 episodes a week?
3 a week at this point. Yeah.
I don't know how you do that. So the origin of the Salesforce Developer Podcast, the short version, is that we wanted a counterpart to my good old friend, Mike Gerhold's admin podcast, formerly the Button Click admin. And I'm name dropping a lot. I didn't know I was going to do that. Jillian okay. Bruce told me, she's like, think of this as your job. Like, that if you're going to go weekly and you're going to try to pace with us, like it's a lot of hours to go into it. So that's the first, because I learned she was right. I learned she was very, very right. And it took us a while to even launch. Like, we experimented with a lot of different formats. We had a lot of different concepts. There's a horrible prototype out there where I used a chime instead of music. Don't ask. But, you know, we got it. And eventually you do get more efficient as you just sort of like learn the trade and just kind of get into the swing of things.
Yeah.
The second thing, very different, is I did not expect like how much joy I would actually get from it. We launched right before the pandemic, which was amazing timing because it meant I could still do my job of like engaging with my community. But I got to have these like really long conversations with people and from around the world too, for free, or well, you know, whatever Zencastr costs kind of thing. So yeah. I had a cabbie ask me, and I can't remember how he found out I had a podcast. But anyway, I had a cabbie ask me, well, not really ask me. He was just like, well, I was thinking about starting a podcast with just like me and my friends talking about gaming. And I'm like, do it. Just do it. There's no reason not to do it. Just don't expect you're going to make any real money off of it. But it's fun. You're going to have fun. You're going to socialize with other people, which is also very good therapy. And yeah, just do it.
Yeah. 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 I mean, there has been some benefits professionally. You know, I get to meet people that I can then partner with, or, you know, some potential clients and stuff like that for my consulting work. But honestly, I have the privilege to be able to talk with 103 shows a week. So 156 yeah. people I get to meet each year. Like, that's
right.
The time spent aside, like, that's an amazing opportunity because I get to talk with 156 people that are smarter than me every year. And I get to learn something from every single one of them. You know, it's nice. Just, it's yeah. fun. And, you know, and yeah, you know, maybe at some point in the future, I go back to 2 a week or whatever, but you know, right now it is a great opportunity. And I mostly work out of my house. And so, I'm working remotely with all my clients and stuff. So, you know, it's just a great way to network and have some meaningful conversations in the meantime.
Yeah, so, totally. Yeah. It's great. It's great networking. Great networking.
Yeah. Well, again, I'd like to thank Josh Burke, Senior Director, Developer Evangelism at Salesforce, for joining the show. You can learn more about Josh and Salesforce by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to the Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom podcast, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GREGKILSTROM.com. To get a copy of my latest book, House of the Customer, visit my website, or you can find it on Amazon or other retailers. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.